Pledge allegiance, please.
Pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning. Welcome to Elk Rapids Township Meeting. It's April 10th at 9 a.m. Do we have any public comment this morning?
Sorry, Patty, can you talk into the, it'll turn your way.
It'll turn your way.
Better? Better?
Better.
Okay. Good morning. I'm Patty Niepoth, a Register of Deeds for Antrim County. Been your Register for 18 years, but I have a total of 31 years in the office, which is hard to believe how fast those years have gone by. I just wanted to come by this morning, reintroduce myself so you have a face with a name. It is not election year for me, so put that out there. But if you have any questions, feel free to call my office. We are working on getting more information on the internet. I continually try to get that for you. Please take a look at the internet. We have information on it that is free that you can search 24/7. We work real closely with your assessor, Carlene, and I believe she's very happy with having the access 24/7. We continue to do about 10,000 documents a year, which revolves around 35,000 pages of documents. We do have a property fraud alert, which is free to all of Antrim County. You can sign up online. That's where anything that is recorded with your name, you will be notified, no matter what kind of document that is. It is free, so please feel free to sign up for that. If you have any questions, give me a call. And if you need me, please. My office is always open. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Patty.
Thank you for your support.
Okay, any other public comment? Not hearing any, we'll move on. Approval of the meeting agenda. I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? Not hearing any. All in favor signify by saying aye, please. Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Consent agenda. Is there anything that needs to be changed to the consent agenda? If not, I would entertain a motion on that as well.
I have a word in one of the meeting minutes where I wrote and I meant to write as, and I would just like to go back and change that when I finish this meeting. It was for the newspaper of record.
Okay.
So it's just a
do you want to pull that out to
I'd
do
rather
it,
not or, pull okay. anything out because it doesn't change the meaning or the anything of that. I would just like to let you know that I'm going to fix that typo.
Okay, and that was in which meeting?
That is in the March 13th meeting, the very first one.
Item 12 on the back page.
Okay. Okay. All right. I guess then we're ready for a motion.
I'll make the motion to approve the consent agenda with Shelley's revision to the March 13th notes.
Okay. Do we have support?
I support.
Okay, support. Any discussion? We'll note that there will be a change to the minutes of March 13th, item 12. I guess at this point, we'll do a roll call vote, please.
Roll call vote, Eisenhart?
Yes.
Szymanski?
Yes.
Amos?
Yes.
Boisvert, yes. And Holtz is absent.
Motion carries. We'll move on to budget adjustments. Mike?
Oh, you quiet. What you have in front of you there is the budget adjustments for the general fund. They had a couple of little overages and under in the expense items there. So we had to make a transfer between the funds, so nothing to clean up a little negative balances in there. So that's the first part there. The second part of the, is for this fiscal year, 18-19. We are adding a, the supervisor's adding a deputy for about $5,000. And the next part is to set up the cash reserve for fiscal year 18 and 19. We're setting up the fiscal years in the general fund for the Hertha Cemetery Reserve, Government Building, and the Park Reserve, and the Fire and Ambulance. We have a equipment reserve and a building reserve. And I think I can, is it time to mention it now?
Sure.
Pete, your fire truck is paid for.
Yay.
You now own it. You saved about $16,000-$17,000 in interest by paying it off. And that's the budget adjustments.
Okay. The board have any questions? Some of what we're thinking about, of course, is the ambulance down the road, the renewal on that. So I know Mike's setting up for what or if could happen.
The ambulance?
Well, no. I mean, in the fire, sorry, mark that. You're right. Fire equipment. We'd like to be able to be in a position on the fire equipment to any new purchases be able to purchase without any bank involved and purchase for cash is our hopeful goal. So does the board have anything else to add? Okay. If not, I guess we can move on. Or do we need a motion on that, right? For the adjustments?
I think we do.
Yes. Probably better have a roll call vote, please.
We need a motion.
A motion, that's right.
I'll move to approve budget adjustments as presented.
I'll support.
Okay, any further discussion? Not hearing any. Roll call vote, please.
Okay. Szymanski?
Yes.
Amos?
Yes.
Boisvert, yes. Eisenhart?
Yes.
And Holtz is absent.
Motion carries. Thanks, Mike. Sportsman's Club. We have Jill Auger here. We're being told, and it's obvious that we've been able to finalize everything with the Sportsman's Club, and what we've asked Jill to do is to come and give a presentation of kind of where we started, where we've been, and where we are today. And finally, I believe we're at the final completion point. So, Jill, if you would.
Global was hired by Elk Rapids Township in 2006. And I think it was actually put out for bid, but we were the only ones that came. We recently right down the road. It was an amazing job, though. And Chris Griffin from our office actually started this. Surprisingly, there's EPA documents that are how to clean up shooting ranges. This is a huge problem all over the United States. And because the lead shot gets into the soil, it can get into the water. And because of the toxicity of it, both in the soil and groundwater, it needed to be cleaned up. And I'm not positive on how everything went, how you got it with the errors and all that, but I do know in I think it was 2006, Elk Rapids Township called us and said, we will be accepting this property transfer to Elk Rapids Township. And Global said, okay, well, you need to do a baseline, you need to do a study first to see if there's contamination. Obviously, with the shooting range, there was. We did sampling, and it was contaminated. So prior to accepting that property, we did a baseline environmental assessment. Then it was, as far as cleaning it up, how you had to clean it up, that stuff I'm not sure about. But Elk Rapids Township had the responsibility to clean up the lead-contaminated soil. It would have, if we had done it all at once, it would have been on the order of, I think, $1 million or more than $1 million to do it. So Chris Griffin of our office talked to the DEQ and said, can we do this incrementally over several years and sample small parts at a time and then just work with the budget of Elk Rapids to just clean up a little bit every year. So that's what they did, starting in, we did a couple investigation reports just studying it, where the most of the contamination was, where were the areas that we needed to do the cleanup, that sort of thing. And that's that drawing over there, that's actually what I took to the DEQ meeting when I went to that. I think it was last fall. I had to present to them, so that's what I showed to them. And each of the highlighted areas represents a different, a different area of the shooting range. Because of where they shot, long range, short range, into berms, different areas were contaminated, had to have different levels of effort. Some took a lot more time to clean up. But we, every time we cleaned it up, we would do a report to close it, basically, and that shows that different areas. But basically, we studied it and then started, I think the first remedial action was in 2009. And so what we would do is basically incremental sampling, which is very common now. Back then, it wasn't so much, but that's what we did. Chris would basically, we had a survey of the site, and we made a grid. Basically, there were squares, and we had random number generators, and we would only sample certain areas of it, because you certainly couldn't sample every single, you know, square foot of soil out there, because there was so much. So with that sampling, he determined which areas were more contaminated and less contaminated. And then we would go out prior to the, well, we looked at many different ways of like reclaiming the lead or washing the soil or remediating it on site or excavating. And it actually came down to the cheapest way to do it was to excavate it and haul it off site was the cheapest. There wasn't enough lead really to make it up. If we were to take all the soil with the lead mixed in, remove the lead, and then sell the lead, it didn't work out. It was still cheaper to excavate, unfortunately. And then it goes to a landfill. Basically, though, before we'd excavate, we determined the area we were going to excavate, and we would have to go out and see how much lead was in there and if it was stable enough to send to a landfill. If there was too much lead in it, then it was too, you couldn't just take it to a landfill because then it could leach out there. So we had to stabilize the soil first, and there was many different ways we tried to do that. We did some bed scale models. We used either like fertilizer or concrete or anything that would actually bind with that lead to make it so it wouldn't leach out. So we'd sample first. If it had too high of a level, above 5 ppm parts per million, then we had to stabilize it. And then we'd sample it again. If it was less than 5 ppm, then we could excavate it. So we'd first stabilize the air, whatever area we're doing. Over the years, I did a couple of these excavations. It would be a 3 to 4 day thing where we would go out there and have, usually Northern A1, we did bid it out every year, but they were the ones who always bid it. And then they knew what they were doing enough that they were really helpful because they'd come out and we'd have these huge bags. It was almost like a cubic yard of fertilizer that they would dangle around and, you know, drift all over the areas that was needed to be stabilized. And then they would mix it in anywhere from 3 inches to a foot, depending if it was on a berm. We went down sometimes to a foot. Flat ground, we only had to do about 3 inches. Then they would excavate it up, and trucks would just come in and out, like, for days. We would just have trucks and trucks and excavate anywhere. I think our total number was 4,131 cubic yards total. But each of the big tractor trailers was usually about 50 cubic yards. So that's a lot of trucks that have been in and out of there pulling stuff out. But they would excavate it out, and then we'd do verification sampling after. And then if there was ever a spot where we didn't get it all, then we would mark it and then delineate and go back the next year. And we wanted to be able to get it all, but we also didn't want to dig too much. If you did all your excavation and you didn't leave something, then you maybe took too much and maybe had to dispose of soil that was clean. So that was always the trick, to not dig too far down, but to get enough of it that you didn't go back the next year. So it was a record-keeping process every year, saying, where do we go? Where have we been? Where do we need to go back to? Lots of pictures, lots of just documenting. And that's why Chris started looking into, can we start closing some of these areas? Because when you have your final report, you have to prove every single time where you excavated, sampled, delineated, went back. And after years and years, it would have been the hugest report ever to remember all that and do it. So we started closing certain areas with a report called a Certificate of Completion. And it's basically a mini closure report where we say, this is what we investigated, this is how we cleaned it up, here's the proof. And then we would go to the DEQ, and we'd have to defend it. They would have a peer review, and then they say, okay, you can close that spot, that part of it. So we ended up having, each year we'd have a work plan, we'd do the excavation, and then the closure. So we ended up closing the sites, and I think you all have a list of the reports. But in 2013, we actually did a no further action report. It's kind of the same thing. That's like a big one. And then we went to the certificate of completions. So we started closing each of the areas in 2014, 13 and 14. And every year, we've closed a couple areas since then. The last work we did was in 2017, last spring. And we finished everything. And then we had to write the formal full report, which is no further action. And that included all the closure reports by reference, and then just summarizing everything, saying that we're done and we've completed everything. And that was finished last last fall, and we got approval of that this March. Some other things we did while we were out there in the process of all this, though, we did take all the structures down, I think in 2015. There was an asbestos survey. I think there was some, we had to do some removal of that. I wasn't part of that, but there was, that was removed. The sewer was capped and the building was moved. The big pad where the pavilion was, that was removed, the concrete pad. I think everything's gone. The shed was gone, all the stuff, everything out there is empty right now. There is still one well on site over in the corner, but other than that, everything's gone from site except for the tires, which will be gone soon. And basically, it's done. There's the DEQ wrote the NFA. They do have a lot of, you said there's a lot of caveats in there, but that's kind of normal. You know, they basically, based on a report, said you've done everything you said you were going to do. They believe we've done enough testing and proven that it's clean and have done everything according to the state rules and regulations. And so right now we're done, and there's no, this is a clean site. There's oftentimes you can close sites when it have not be clean to say, oh, it's still contaminated, we're not going to use it, or a restricted deed or something like that. This is a clean site, a clean closure, and it can be, it's clean and can be used for anything in the future, and it's done. There's no future monitoring. All the monitoring wells were removed. That's typical when you finish a site like this. So those were removed in March sometime, and it's done. So no more work.
Can I just say?
It's so nice to be done. It's a long time working on it.
Well, Jill, it's our understanding then, you know, at this point we can move on with the park plan, and it's completely safe. There's no contamination, and under the DEQ's eyes, we're clean to do whatever we need to do out there.
Yep.
Is there any, the board have any other questions for Jill?
What are you going to do now?
I know. I miss it. Those days out there, it seemed like we always did it in the fall, and working right here and then spending those days out there. I mean, every year, for like 10 years, we spent some time out there and walked around. It's a beautiful piece of property. So I miss it. I can't wait for it to be a park. I'll have to come up here and spend some time out there. But it was a really nice project, and I was really happy that we were able to do it a little bit each year because we learned a lot more. And I think we did a better job having to have just gone in right away and figure out how to do it, because it was a lot in the beginning trying to figure out how to clean it up and what to do and not have it be, you know, all this money. I mean, there's EPA documents on how to clean up shooting ranges. And so it was a really good job for us, and I appreciated it working on it.
Well, thank you, Jill.
You're welcome. Well, feel free to call, though, if you have any questions ever. Do you want that board?
I was just going to say, Jill, can we have a copy of that map?
And you can just have it, because I already had put it in the attic. We don't need it for anything. And like I said, I had to bring it to the DEQ. But it just shows the difference. And that one... the very corner, I think it says proposed closure, because that's the one I used at the very end for the little areas that hadn't been closed yet. But whatever you want to do with it, you can have it.
Thank you.
I'll have to take my shaky stand, though.
Jill, yeah. We can give you a tire as a souvenir if you want.
Yeah.
That would be nice. No, thank you.
Well, Mike, I've asked you to kind of put together roughly what we've spent out there as a recap, and I know it's a rough number, but I'm sure.
So far, I've only recapped two of the vendors, the Global and Northern A1, for hauling the dirt out, and that came out to about 500. That's about $551,000.
And that doesn't include the legal fees.
Doesn't include attorney fees and some other work from Stewart that was done also. So it's probably going to go around $750,000 or more.
But it's still better than what, referring to what Jill said, I remember the number was well over $1 million to do a complete cleanup. So it was obviously the right choice, given our options at that point.
We didn't raise taxes from the taxpayers either.
No, because we've had to pull that out of our general fund, basically, to pull this off. So it's given us enough room to do all that. Bill, do you have anything to add to that from your experience through there? Because I'd like to put a complete closure to the Sportsman's Club deal.
There's just pursuant to the legal the court decision on it, we've still got to finish the project.
Right.
Finish the project is create some sort of park. There's no designation. We have to put a name out there on it, and we have to do something. And it could be an ongoing plan, but we've got to start, put past something. You name it to start with. You've been 12 years doing it now, getting it clean so you can do something. So now you got to do something. there's no time period to jump at it right now. You got to get the tires removed first. Looks like there's a lot of dirt or something to be. Is that all tires that are?
Pretty much.
Okay. I can only see it from 31. So yeah. It looks like a big pile.
We also got the grant approved, signed by the DEQ, so we're just waiting on Eric, and of course we have to wait for the snow melt so we can get in there. And then once we get the tires out, then we can actually go from there.
But do you believe at this point we fulfilled all of our responsibilities to the court? And DEQ?
You're starting to. You haven't built a park.
Well, I mean as far as the cleanup.
Well, you had a choice a long time ago to say, no, we don't want any part of it.
Correct.
Or do something. And you've done something. You're perceiving, you've got a park plan up there that may be modified in the future and so forth on this thing. So you've continued over the years to move forward. That's all I can say to this.
Correct.
So I think that you're complying, but there's no time frame that the court said you must do something within so many months, okay? You've done something. You had a plan done, and you had public hearings, and number the more important thing, you found pollution, lead contamination, and you've been in the process of cleaning it up for all these years. You're moving forward.
Well, I think this year our plans were to get the tires out of there, obviously, and kind of evaluate what we've got and probably get a little more of a park plan put together, but I just want to be sure that there's nothing else we need to do to keep moving forward with the park, because it's obvious now we can actually go in and do something on the property. So that's, is there any other questions from the board about this project? Well, we've got Jill and Bill here. So I guess for our board now, we will move forward as Mike stated, and Shelley, we've got someone that's going to do the tires. We've got a grant. That's our plan for this year, and possibly maybe some gates or something else, but we've got to work on the park plan. So is there any other further discussion on Sportsman's Club? Okay, we'll move on. Well, thanks again, Jill.
Thanks, Jill.
Sheriff and Commissioner report. Well, I don't see Dan here.
No, but
I see Ed here. Do you have anything for us, Ed?
No, sir.
No new news? Okay. Well, we've got the Antrim County
Sheriff's report.
A couple car deer accidents. We have one death. Driver complaint of 3. Follow-ups of 6. 2 fraud cases. 2 general assists. 1 hazardous condition. 7 medical calls, 2 paper services. Yeah, I'm just going to hit the tops. And 38 traffic stops, total of 74 events for March.
What's paper service?
I'm not sure. I assume that's a warrant, but that would be my guess. Do you know, Bill?
What's the word?
Paper service.
Paper service.
It's either a warrant or it's a summons and complaint for a civil matter. They go out and serve them also. Somebody's sued, so they get the summons and complaint.
Through the Sheriff Department. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, any further discussion on Sheriff and Commissioner reports? We'll move on. Ambulance Department report, MMR.
Okay, I can give you that one.
Mike.
For the month of March, there were 18 calls for service. And there was 17 transports, 13 from the village and 4 from the township. It's still pretty much down. I don't think all the snowbirds are back up here yet. And it's not in the summer season, so seems to be a pretty quiet month.
It has been. Also, MMR is going to be at the MTA convention this month, and they've invited anyone who's there to come to their, they have a hospitality room and a booth, so anyone that's going to be there should stop by and see the representatives from MMR. Is there anything further on ambulance? Okay, we'll move on. Fire Department, Chief Vandenberg, please.
Yep, good morning. March was a quiet month for us also. We only had 6 dispatches the entire month. Current staff is at 20. We continue to work on a recruitment program. All apparatus and equipment are in good order. On March 24th, we concluded a series of officer training classes that were held over the winter. There were 6 weekend classes. And we, of course, invited people from other area departments. Anyway, that went well. And we've got one more coming up on Monday, April 30th. That'll be an in-house training class on Monday night. On the 26th of March, we trained with the U.S. Coast Guard out of Charlevoix on ice rescue out on Elk Lake. We've been working on that mutual aid agreement with Whitewater, and that's been signed, and I take it it'll get back down to Whitewater, right? Yep. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. I'm working with the board on a proposed service fee ordinance. I'm not quite sure where that stands. We're going to...
You've received a copy of what...
I did.
From Bill, what we were looking at,
yeah.
The final. You know, what I was going to ask is if next week, first part of the week, you'd have time, maybe we can all get together and go through that if possible.
Sounds like a plan. All right.
I'd like to have something ready for the May meeting.
Okay.
That's what I'm shooting for.
The plan is I'm going to tweak it, get it to you again.
Okay.
With it, it's not a city event anymore, okay? Yeah. It's going to be Township of Elk Rapids, and
right.
It's got to be tweaked a little in there. We'll meet on that draft and then tweak it again.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Okay.
Let's see. In case anyone's interested on the board, on the 25th of April at the ACES meeting, which is basically Fire and Ambulance Services from Antrim County, we're going to meet in Alden, and the primary item discussion is going to be the state's 800 megahertz radio system and the possibility of moving Fire and Ambulance Services over to it. I don't know that there's any... I don't have any idea what direction this is going. I'm not sure there's enough motion forward to carry it, but again, we're going to do at least a presentation on it so we can make an informed decision. So,
what is what's driving that, Pete?
One or two individuals.
Okay.
And that's about it. Yep.
Do you think there's any legs there? I mean, is it a...
You know, that's... I really don't have a good firm grip on that. I doubt it, but then again, you know, it's... I don't know any other way to say it other than it's a pretty sexy system. It looks good. It's a new sports car in your neighbor's driveway is what it is. And it looks good.
What would it do for you that we don't already do or have access to?
Almost nothing.
Okay.
Oh, well, yes, it would. It would take some more of our money.
Okay. I'm just curious.
We're actually pretty happy with what we have, and that's the way I read most of the other chiefs. But then again, you know, we'll find out at that meeting.
Okay.
And I'm working on a final draft of that policy for the recruitment retention plan, and I'll have that to this board for approval in the next month or two. If we're working on the fee ordinance, let's get that one out of the way first, and then we'll work on that policy. So.
Okay.
Any questions?
Board have any questions? Thanks, Pete.
Yep, thank you.
At this point, Pete did refer to the mutual aid agreement, which we did sign. And I'm just curious, do we need another motion on it? Should
we? Since it is signed on this thing, I'd like the board to pass a motion to ratify and confirm the agreement.
Okay.
That the township has signed and the fire department signed and Whitewater signed also.
Yeah. We've kind of already agreed in some state, because it was the same agreement coming back that we've been working on basically, and we've signed, and so I guess what I need is a motion. This is a one-year agreement, am I correct?
Yes,
at that?
It still can be canceled.
And
notice,
yes.
One-year agreement, yes.
So I need a motion on this mutual agreement to be sent back just for verification.
Ratify and confirm.
So could I have a motion, please?
I'll move to ratify and confirm the mutual aid agreement with Whitewater Township as presented.
I will second.
Okay, we have support. Any further discussion? This has been worked on since, I guess, about what, September, October?
It's been months, right?
And it's my understanding that Whitewater Township is in the process or does have a fire department in position now. Is that correct in your mind, Pete?
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Whitewater Township does have a fire department in operation.
Okay.
So just to clarify, that's what I thought, but I wanted to be sure. They do have a signature here for an interim fire chief, so this is just mutual aid. So I guess at that point, we'd have a vote. Do you want to do a roll call vote?
No, you don't.
Okay. Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye, please. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I would suggest, Shelley, you keep the original, send a copy back to Pete and to the Whitewater Township.
Okay, we'll move on to the HRTHA report. Seeing anyone here?
There is a report.
There is a report. I just lost it.
That after the mutual aid agreement?
I thought it was right here. I think I pulled it. Moved it. Basically, the Spruce Street water line replacement between April 18th and May 21st, and they're talking about the digital projection system. They're going to work on exterior windows. They've got Jay Merchant inspected, and they're just working on marketing HRTHA through the event coordinator, Catherine Carlson, and that's about it. Just They're going to be hosting popular monthly community trivia nights with proceeds donated to HRTHA. And they have canceled their spring day in favor of hosting only a fall play. Leader Rob Ford will join the HRTHA board at the April 13th meeting, with elections of officers also held. Board meetings are normally held on every other month. Tom Varanich. So any discussion on HRTHA?
Yeah. They're the ones.
Yeah.
Canceling what?
We'll move on to Township Sewer. We've got Brad Muma and Aaron here. I'm not sure which one wants to take over.
Well, I'll start with it, and then I'm sure Brad will have some details to fill in. So as you know, we've been working with Harbor Springs Excavating out there. They've basically started with the most difficult part of the project, which is getting that lift station in the ground. They fought with the dewatering and successfully gotten the base and the structure set. They've done all the 4-inch drilling up Williams Road and out Birch Lake Road. They've done the 2-inch drilling at the end of Terrace. And so what we have for you guys here as part of the package is the pay request for their work completed as of a week and a half ago. Since then, they've continued on, obviously. But that amount comes out to $87,111.25, which would put us at about 25% complete on the total project. We've got no change orders or anything in the contract so far. We do have a couple changes that we know are coming, some details on how we're doing the drop structure in the manhole, but there's nothing real substantial out there going on different than the plan. Brad's begun to hear from some of the neighboring people there in Maple Harbor, working to coordinate their services. You know, and obviously we had this, the last time around, we passed this inspection fee program, you know, where you're going to get a permit through the township. And then since that point, the county stepped in and they're going to charge them a plumbing permit. So that's about $5,000 in plumbing permit fees that are going to go on out there. So what we're saying is, you know, we're kind of out there already on the project. We're going to waive our part of the inspection fee to do this stuff. We'll just make sure these things get covered, because we don't have real high hopes that we're going to get any kind of documentation back from the county in how these homes got connected if we just let them do it. So we'll make sure the records are complete and that people get looked at from our end of things, and then the county can kind of do whatever they're going to do. So that's what we're proposing. And then whatever base fee you guys are collecting just to keep your records and tracking, you can continue to do. And then the other issue we've got going on is...
Excuse me, Aaron. When you're going to do this with the county, have you been able to overcome getting them out there in a timely manner?
We have not had any of these inspections occur yet.
No, but I mean, because I know originally when Shelley talked to them, they're only around a couple days a week or something. Are you going to be able to work through that?
I don't know how. I mean, essentially, this is a homeowner problem. You know, they have to call when they're ready for their inspection and coordinate it. I don't know how it's all going to play out, if they're going to wait and try and do like five at once, or if they'll come out for individuals and they'll just be there twice a day for a month. I don't know what they're...
Will you be able to close it up? You won't be able to close it up, though, until it's looked at, correct?
Correct.
So it's going to be left open.
Right.
We'll be able to close our portion as far as we'll get in there, do our inspections, see what we need to see. And then the contractor's just going to be on hold waiting for the inspection to occur from the county level.
Now, this kind of came out of nowhere. Shelley bumped into it, I think, by accident.
That's what I get for asking.
Mm-hmm. Have you run into this before?
We have, not in this scenario. Okay, so the plumbing code changed in 2015. That added this language where now the plumbing department, historically, they stopped 10 feet outside your wall of your structure. And then it was up to the health department or the municipality to make sure people were tied into either an on-site field or a municipal system. Well, they've added this language where now they have inspection authority over the whole service. So, I mean, if you talk to the health department, they're not really even aware of this, that this, who's inspecting this pipe between a septic tank and a drain field? Is it both? Is it just the health department? It's kind of a gray area going on right now. I think a lot of people are unaware of it, and a lot of it does not get inspected by the county. And when we've done municipal projects, we've never had this as part of the plumbing inspector coming out and checking connections. And we've done a lot of street projects, we've done a lot of these types of things. Usually the municipality has permitting from the DEQ, from the state, they have an inspector on site, and the county kind of has traditionally accepted that these things get connected back in under the supervision of the municipal permit. So I don't know how this is going to play out differently, you know, but...
Well, because I know technically probably the last ones we hooked up at Birch Lake were never called upon. So I'm just curious if this is something that's...
It is new in the code, and I don't know if over time it will evolve to be more strictly enforced, or they'll figure out how exactly the two regulating agencies are going to play nicely together, or I don't know what's going to happen.
So if they connect up to us with your specs, then the homeowner has to get the county approval still. And your specs are to DEQ.
Correct.
So I'm assuming the county specs will be the same?
Well, the county, all they can enforce is really the state plumbing code. So I mean, in my experience, when they come out to look, all they're going to look at you have a gravity pipe. All they're going to come do is they're going to see you have a trench, there's a 4-inch pipe, make sure it's not a, you know, corrugated plastic drainage pipe or, you know, some weird material or obviously not correct. But I don't see how they're going to do anything, you know, real technical. They're just going to come look. In theory, they should make some notes on whatever record keeping they keep at the county so they know that this person is off a septic. Here's their drain line. Here's where it connected in. But this is where our concern is that we won't get good as-built documentation if we don't do it. So that's why we're saying we're there. We'll just make sure these things get documented, and we'll just kind of absorb this.
How do they do it, Aaron, if they bore it?
They'll go look at the end of the bore.
Okay.
Well, that's interesting. It doesn't have anything to do with the plugging or removal of the septic tank. It's just the connection.
No, that's regulated by the health department. So
you got two entities?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you got three. Because the DEQ is involved.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Okay, sorry to derail you, but I just wanted to understand that a little better.
Yeah, so I have a feeling that will evolve over time, but for this project, they've taken the firm stance that they want a plumbing permit from all 40 homes. So rather than pile on with the fees, we're trying to help them out.
And does then Antrim County require plan review then for each individual?
No, they will not require plan review.
They also do allow the contractor to pull the permit, not a licensed plumber. So that's the one reprieve they get.
Right.
Oh, the homeowner can pull it?
They could for this section of pipe only.
If they're doing it, you know, if you're going to do it yourself. But I think what Brad's alluding to is you don't have to have a licensed plumber pull the permit for this. There's an exemption that an excavation contractor can pull the permit.
So the time frame of getting inspections is going to be a little bit of a,
yeah,
with my experience.
That would be my fear too. Yeah.
Doesn't Michigan require 24 within 24 hours they have to do an inspection, but some agencies look at that as 24 working hours. So then it's 3 days is what I'm running into sometimes, or what I see.
Yeah.
Some of it is 24 hours, some of it's 72, really.
And it could be once they've done a handful of these and they see Brad out there and they kind of have a comfort level with what's going on, maybe they would rely on us to provide documentation back, take a picture, send them the as-built note. You know, it's possible that this could evolve through the project to help make it smoother. But at this point in time, they're saying that they want to be there for everyone.
Sorry to derail you, but thank you.
No, that was part of what we, you know, it was new information we wanted to bring up. So while we're talking about permitting, we got our permit issued from the state, and they issued the permit for the original gravity plan instead of the modified plan. So as soon as we got the DEQ permit, we immediately had to go back and then make a modification request to get the force main ends permitted. So, but all that stuff's straightened back out. So I think other than that, that's essentially what's going on for Maple Harbor. I think Brad has some other.
Yeah, so being on site and talking with Tom almost on a daily basis, kind of where he stands today progress-wise is he's going to spend, I'm going to say, the rest of this week, and we're thinking with the weather going to happen and whatnot, he'll be through the next week basically finalizing up the lift station area, getting things up to grade so we can get our control panels mounted and get the electrical permit going, because I think Consumers is 5 or 6 weeks out after inspection, so we kind of are gonna work on getting that done the next week or so. He's gonna button up like a manhole air relief valve that goes on Williams, get that installed, and then work on the final bore, which is the 8-inch gravity going under Cairn Highway. And part of that is setting the manhole, first manhole on Terrace Ave. But we're thinking all this is going to take place between the rest of this week and through next week, and then meaning the following Monday, he's hoping to start on the actual 8-inch gravity going down Terrace at that point.
Okay, so you're on schedule, you believe?
Yeah. I mean, the lift station probably took a little bit longer because we had this heavy snow and dewatering was an issue, like Aaron said, but we're still on schedule for sure. Like, that's why we wanted to get after this lift station as early as we could, because that was the big wild card, the most difficult part of this project.
Were you able to work out our communications with the village as far as what's going to be at that lift station?
I haven't talked to. I got contact information for a gentleman that does their skate in controls. We've kind of played phone tag a couple times. I haven't talked to him directly yet, but I don't see any issues there.
Okay. Does the board have anything else for either one?
Can I do the Birch Lakes thing?
I'd just like to say thanks for jumping in on that permit issue and for, you know, taking the hit yourselves. That's not a normal thing. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, it's something we never anticipated, them coming down and saying, we want 42 plumbing permits for, you know.
And the cost of those permits was crazy for me. Plumbing permits used to be like $35, and when they said it would be $113, I think I had an ex, you know, over the phone with the, I said, what? But, yeah, so hopefully, they did say they'd work with us. You know, if that gentleman has to come in more for a group of things, you know, I'm confident we can work well with everybody. I appreciate it.
We probably need a motion on this bill.
Oh, yeah.
I'll make the motion to pay the construction bill of $87,111.25. Need support?
Support.
Any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Roll call, Amos.
Yes.
Boisbert, yes. Eisenhart.
Yes.
Szymanski.
Yes.
Motion carries. Dick Holtz is absent. We'll move on to Maple Harbor. I don't know who wants to challenge, take that one on, either one of you or both.
The Birch Lake.
You're right, I'm sorry.
Birch Lake.
Gosh, forgot to skip.
No problem. I put out a, you know, I solicited a few different contractors, give them some information on trying to give us a proposal on doing that force main clearing between the Sportsman's lift station and the treatment plant. And after reaching out and talking to, I think, four different contractors, only one of them got back to me with a price on that, and that was Carl Stewart. So I didn't know if that's something we wanted to try to move ahead with this year before contractors got too busy.
What kind of number were we looking at?
His number, his proposal was $4,900. Go basically from end to end, clear that whole site, 12-foot width.
And what does that mean, clear? Is he just going to cut it, or?
He is going to use a mini excavator and basically de-stump everything.
Oh, yes.
So everything would be pulled out, roots and all, and then just basically placed along the sides.
That will give you enough access to get to the line?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I think part of this is to look at it. Well, it should be walked at least annually, and then, you know, stay on top of it. At some point, you know, get somebody to run down there with probably a brush hog and a small tractor, kind of keep things cleaned up going forward. But that will be far less than $4,900.
Yeah. Is that something he can get done right away or sooner than later?
Yeah, he could get right on it this spring, he said.
Oh, Mike?
Should be able to cover that.
We're okay on that?
Yeah.
The other thing I was looking at getting pricing on was still the rehabilitation for those structures. And the pricing I got was for them is $250 a vertical foot, and that's going to work out roughly $5,500. What that doesn't cover is the bypass pumping that would be needed for them to perform that work.
Is that per lid or total?
Total for the remaining structures.
Does that include painting?
That's what it would be. They'd come in, they would steam, jet, and clean the entire interior of the structure, and then they'd put blowers in there, dry them out quick, and then they would urethane coat the entire inside.
And that would give you enough lift? Would that, is that including the lift?
No, we would, prior to them doing the actual cleaning, try to raise the structures up if they need be.
Okay.
Which I believe they do. They're
setting
a
little. What might something like that look like for expense?
I'm thinking around $500. We could probably do something like that right out of our office. It, send a couple guys down, and it's just a matter of hand mixing some mortar and lifting that ring up and just flopping in a basically a precast concrete ring and lifting that casting up.
So basically 10-5 or 12-11.
Well, the bypass pumping, I don't have a number on. I can't imagine it being, you know, $1,500.
Are we all right?
I'll have to go back and look, make sure.
How soon would you need to know on the, if we did the clearings, I think that's the one that needs.
I think of the clearing, if that's something you were considering doing, I would probably approve that and get Carl in there sooner than later. Frost laws come, he can do that with the frost laws on, and he's available now. He could probably get in there and do it. A month from now, that could be completely different.
Okay.
Well, then could you give us a firm number on the other part of it?
Yeah, right. If we're going to hold off, I'll go ahead and get a bypass pumping number and all that and have a firm budget number.
Because we have to remember.
For the May meeting, yeah.
That we need to rejet it one more time this fall, but you said that'd be quite a bit less than the last go around.
Yeah. Or
is that still what you're thinking? We should go back in and.
Yeah, I think we should look at it either this fall or even in the spring, but at some point give it one more final, like, better cleaning. It has so many solids in it, and the lift station being in its condition, you know, it just wasn't flushing very well when he was jetting it. So a second round was recommended by the contractor.
So we should probably do it more than once every 30 years?
10 wouldn't hurt.
Okay. I didn't want you to surprise us. Well, what's the board's wishes? I think it's important to get in there and get the line cleared so we've got access in case there's a problem. But what's the rest feel like?
Fine.
Are you someone going to make a motion, Mike?
Okay. I'll make the motion that we go ahead with the Birch Lake maintenance plan.
Clearing?
Clearing.
A second.
Okay, support. Oh, he's not going to burn the piles. You said he's just going to leave them. That'll be okay. It'll be out of the way.
Yeah, I mean, it is just all swamp, low ground through there, so they're just going to be stacked up in the sides.
Do you have flags down that line?
Or no, but it's defined. The way it was constructed, it was built up, and it's a flat, defined path.
Okay.
I actually have a question on the motion that I just seconded. Now I'm listening. You said to go ahead with the Birch Lake maintenance plan, but really we're just talking about the clearing.
The clearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Till we get the rest of it.
Right.
Yep.
Aaron, do you have any comments?
Nope.
Okay. I guess we better do a roll call on this probably.
All right. Roll call. Boisvert, yes. Eisenhart?
Yes.
Shemansky?
Yes.
Amos?
Yes. Motion passes, and Dick Holtz is absent. No, I think if we could get those lids, I know from what you've described over the last year or so that they need to be addressed. Certainly before we'd have to buy new ones would be good. And if we got to get them up higher, I think try to do it right.
Yeah.
What is there anything else on the horizon that you see that we need to do?
You know, no, I don't think so. Not anything that's like pressing.
Okay. So if we could get this done, we'd be kind of in pretty good shape.
I would continue to look at the other legs of the pressure sewer and keep doing some testing and checking to make sure we don't have any leaks and stuff like that going on. you know, basically pressure tested the one segment between where we're tying in and the outlet sewer to make sure that was good before we tied in. But we haven't gone out the other ends. So I think long range, you know, that should be something you get checked out.
Okay. Anything further on Birch Lake Sewer? Anything more from you folks? Okay. We'll move on. Zoning Administrator contract for 2018 with Larry Nix. We've been doing, we previously did a year's contract, and Larry reminded me we needed to renew it, so that's what we're talking about. Basically, there's no change. It's the same contract again this year for another year. It's been working out, I think, pretty well. So I guess if there's any discussion from the board, what's everyone else's thoughts on this? We need to renew it. He's actually got a meeting this afternoon, so we probably want to do it today, maybe. Any comments? Mike, it's all the same numbers. I even actually checked this one.
No, I am just very pleased with the job that Larry's doing, and we're not getting any phone calls in the office about, you know, people seem pretty happy. And he responds very quickly and gets things done.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing. I haven't heard any negative yet. Maybe there is, but so far, I think all the applicants, I know Bill works way more than probably any of us, but so far it's been good. Have you had any negative feedback?
No.
No negative feedback at all. In fact, Larry goes the extra distance to try to assist your owners, your property owners, and suggest ways to solve the situation if there's something that's not kosher. For instance, today you will see at the ZBA, go to the meeting at 3 o'clock, there's a study along Williams Road. There is a series of small accessory buildings that are pretty close to the road. And they had a variance request coming in from one, and Larry, the ZBA put it on hold because they wanted to do a study. They went back to 1980 when the sewers were going through there, and the sewer plans had buildings on these accessories. So it's been several of them, I think there's eight of them, in that area. Some of them were in pre-existence because the guy says, well, look at all the rest of them are. Yeah, but they're pre-existing non-conforming structures. So they're going to handle one today on the variance, but the rest of them are going to be able to stay in place where they are based on history. It's a long history. So, and he developed that plan, searched a lot of the records to find something that he could find out how long those structures were there. And that's going well beyond his normal duties.
No, I've been completely satisfied. So I guess we need a motion so I can sign this.
I'll make the motion to approve the zoning administrator's contract for 2018.
Okay. Support. We have support. Have any further discussion? Okay, not hearing any. We don't need to do a roll call on this, do we? All in favor, signify by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. And Dick Holtz is absent. We'll move on to Elk Rapids Internet Domain. I'm going to turn this over to Mike. I know Mike's been working with Shen.
Back when the days when the internet was born.
Wow.
Yeah, that's going a long time back.
Yeah.
Shen Smith, who did our setup and stuff, purchased the domains elkrapids.com and I believe elkrapids.org. And I just found out that we had them this long that Shen's been paying like an $8 a month fee since about 1997. Okay, now she's been donating that, you know, to the township.
And we have a request from, the village wanted to do something, and they wanted to purchase, I guess, believe, that internet domain from us. Okay? So, Mr. Cooper is here to tell us why they need to do that. If you would enlighten us, Bill.
You know, you start something, you got to come and talk about why. We have been having some problems with our email, and we've been working to try and resolve those, and we've also been shopping alternatives. In order to switch to another provider, we have to have control of our domain name. As of right now, the contact on the elkrapids.org domain is Bill White. And the technical contact, of course, is Shen, which that makes sense. But the township appears to own both. The village would like to get control of the .org, since that's the one that we use. Obviously, we'd pick up the cost for doing that, whatever that tends to be. And so we're just asking the township if they would release it, and we will take care of everything that has to be done to get it transferred to our name and anything else we'd like to do with it.
What's the cost if you have to get a new one?
You mean besides all of our business cards, our website, our email? Yeah, we'd have to notify the world, because if .org belongs to the township and we can't use it, then we have to start over. And this is when you start getting into the slightly more complex addresses that are used by cities, and it would probably end up being something like elkrapids.mi.us as our site, and notifying everybody we've been doing business with for years would be a nightmare. So we're asking just for some cooperation between our two organizations. We cooperate on tons of stuff, and we're hoping the township would be willing to, name a price.
Oh, don't ask me to do that.
No, Mike, I'm not gonna wipe out your entire budget for this year.
Let me write this number on a piece of paper. And
yeah. I haven't had a good laugh since earlier this morning. So.
So how does that affect the township? We don't use .org?
No.
No, you're .com.
We use elkrapids.com.
And don't ask me why we ended up with .org and you ended up with .com. I don't have a clue. As Mike started to say, it goes back many years. Pete?
Yeah, and by the way, we have .info, and I think part of that was is to tie up as many domain names as possible so that someone else couldn't grab it. So just don't do anything to our .info while you're at it.
Okay. I only want .org. I don't care about the others.
So is there anyone in the township using .org?
No.
We use the .com. And I don't know why anybody else would want to come up and take the Elk Rapids, domain as a personal thing.
There's been a lot of horror stories.
Yeah.
If you go out and you look where domain names have been purchased by somebody years ago, as Pete just pointed out, a lot of times blocks were purchased to make sure nobody else could even get close to your domain name. But there have been some horror stories about private citizens who happened to grab a name because someone who might need it hadn't thought about it, and then they want to sell it back to them for more than what you'd even ask for, Mike. So
you don't know.
You don't know. I haven't slipped it.
That's true. I haven't seen your price yet. So that's why we've made the request.
So the process of switching it over, I'm guessing it won't be as seamless as you.
It takes a little bit of time and some wheeling and dealing.
You're going to need Bill White involved in that.
Probably not. No. Probably not. I think I think working through Shen, we can get everything pretty well straightened out. And she's already, we've already been in touch with her. She's already offered to work with us to make the transition. But obviously, she can't do anything without the township board's approval. So,
what's Shen's? How is she involved in it? What's her? What is she? What is she through that?
She's listed on the domain as the technical contact.
So, what's Bill White listed at?
As the contact, basically the owner, but he's the owner's representative for the township. Yeah, we clarified that with Shen already. So it's just that's the way it was set up when they were.
I can't imagine it would be too much of a problem, but anytime we've had to do that, hopefully it's not a big deal.
Well, we've got our technical people that are going to work on it for us, and we'll put Shen and them together and hopefully do it very quickly.
The only thing I would ask if we do go down that road is that you might offer to reimburse her, because we didn't realize we hadn't reimbursed her either on these.
I have no problem with that within reason. I mean, I don't know how long she's been paying that, but I didn't even know she was paying it.
I didn't either until she told us
a couple of weeks ago.
And that was her option. Shen, to let you know, Aaron handles all of our websites and our internet for nothing. We don't pay her for that. And so when we get these new web companies coming in saying we are able to do this and this, it's like, you know, I think our website's all right and it doesn't cost us anything. Can you beat that? And no. So Shen's just been great with that as just being a part of the township. And I can just picture it when this building was built and things were coming in, you know, we were, you know, in great coordination with the village and the township, and Shen just set it all up for everybody. So, you know, that's kind of how that happened. And I don't see any problem at all letting them split that off.
Yeah, I don't either. My guess is you're going to have to get Bill involved, though. But I could be wrong.
We'll find out.
If Shen hadn't had the foresight at that time, we would have never had either one, actually.
Right.
And it was her driving.
Yeah.
The system to do that.
It was.
Because we never thought of it, frankly.
Well, we've been very lucky.
And obviously the village didn't either, so I mean that's kind of how we were fortunate she looked forward. Board's choice. What's the flavor?
I'm good with it.
Okay. I'm fine.
Well, then we probably better have a motion.
I'll move to let the village do whatever they need to do to gain control of their elkrapids.org, as long as it doesn't erase our elkrapids.com in any way.
It won't.
should we add in there that they would bear the expense of anything that, and there could be some unforeseen expense in here. I don't know what that is.
Sure.
Yep. All right. So.
Yeah.
I already forgot what I said, but I'll add at their own expense.
Absolutely. We anticipated that any cost that was involved in taking care of it, either in the conversion or going forward, would definitely be borne by the village.
And I'm sure Shen's not going to collect from you, but if you make the offer, I'd appreciate that.
And I appreciate
I feel bad we haven't done anything. I'm kind of embarrassed by that.
Well, we'll definitely make the offer to Shen, because she has taken good care of us, too, along the way. There's just a few things we want to do, and we really don't think it's fair to ask Shen to do some of that additional work, especially for free. So,
okay, any further discussion? If not?
There was no second.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll support.
Yeah, I thought you did. Sorry. I knew you were going to, maybe it was just my poor thinking. Okay, no further discussion. All in favor, signify by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Dick Holtz is absent.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Okay, we're going to move on to, I don't know, I can't pronounce it right.
Risinga
Island.
Island sign.
No wake sign. And I think, Shelley, you've been kind of
leading that one, haven't you?
Well, actually, it's the ILSA, Elk Lake Skigamog.
The group.
Yeah, group, that really wanted to put the no wake sign up on the island so that people could see. And at the same time, I had learned that we needed a sign on the island that said Risinga Island because it was turned over to the township. And that was their only stipulation, that they wanted a sign put up on there. So the Elk Skigamog group approved, and they're going to do a sign, which they gave us a picture of. And on the bottom, it says Risinga Island. So, you know, I think this is a good deal for everybody. It'll get the no wake, and then it'll also name the island as we should have done a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
agreed. Can we get a picture of that when it's done so we have something in our file?
Yeah.
It's really there. Any discussion? Any questions? Aaron, any thoughts?
Nope.
Mike?
No, we're all set.
Yeah, I'm good with it. I guess we need a motion.
I'm also moved to approve the proposed sign for Risinga Island.
I'll second.
And that will have no wake, and it'll have the name of the island, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Any further discussion? Not hearing any. All in favor, signify by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Dick Holtz is absent. Go to attorney's report.
Talked about a lot of it. I just want to remind the board, Dorrance indirectly, that you got an MTA, Michigan Township Association meeting in ACME, 23rd, 27th. I think it's an excellent opportunity to go. This afternoon, there's a FEMA meeting here on inland waterways in the level they're setting. It's from 2 to 4 p.m. They'll have maps on the inland lakes and so forth on this thing, where they consider the flood risk. I think that's worthwhile, at least to look at the maps. And there's a ZBA meeting at 3 o'clock with a variance and some other discussions. The Sheriff's Department at 74 is above our average over the last 5 or 6 years. Farmland open space, there's nothing on this township, but just so you're aware of, Milton Township apparently is going to start discussions with Grand Traverse Regional Land Conservancy on some sort of farmland preservation again. That's not that they're going to do anything. There hasn't been any decisions. They're just starting information again. Sportsman's Club, we've already heard about Jill and her report on that. There's nothing new on grammar. Planning Commission has a meeting April 17th, 6:30 p.m. There's no pending matters there. I do have, for the township's information, there is a request from Mr. Rex M. Johnson and Rebecca Johnson on Partridge Trail off Bass Lake. They have a structure on a lot, a home on a lot, and they own a lot next door. They want to build a garage on the lot next door. So we would normally use a merger agreement. Larry and I have been talking. Larry's been talking to him since December, and now he got a call this week. They want to start a construction on the garage next week. And it's hard to get agreements in writing that quick, done that quick, and I'm starting to get the backup information on it. But we will merge those two lots to make it one buildable unit. There'll be about 230 feet, 240 feet, and they cannot sell either one. It's not a lot, it's a meets and bounds description, without township board approval on this thing. It's gonna be one buildable unit at that point. So that's our compromise it doesn't get around zoning, but it at least makes it. So there is a garage and the accessory, it's an accessory building to the main house on a different parcel. They're put together, meets the zoning. All other aspects of zoning would be complied with. So we may come back next month and ask for a ratification and agreement of that, ratification of the board of that agreement also. Hayden, nothing new. Bertha, we got a written report. There will be, the Planning Commission has discussed an increase in fees, fee study. That is also going to be discussed at the ZBA meeting today. There will probably be a recommendation back to the Township Board sometime in the near future about what the Planning Commission and the ZBA are going to recommend for fees with zoning, Planning Commission special meetings, site plan reviews, stuff like that. Birch Lake Sewer and Maple Harbor Sewer, we've already heard full discussions on that. Don't have anything more to add. Medical marijuana, there are no permits in the state given yet that I know of. We're still working on that. Acme is still going to allow it. That's the only one I know of. There's none in Antrim County that I know is going to have any sort of facility allowed at this time. And cemetery, we're still working on that. Short-term rentals, there's nothing new in the state of Michigan on it that I know of. It's still in subcommittee. It's still a hot issue around a lot of the areas. Mutual aid, Whitewater Township, we passed it and ratified it. That's all. Oh, one more thing. I do have, just for your information, it's called small cell wireless facilities. I only know one in the whole area. It's up on Waring Road on top of a telephone pole. But this is past the Senate where townships could not prohibit the use of these small cell towers at all as long as they're put on top of an existing pole. Zoning cannot work. So they can, usually it's in city or congestion areas where they need, in my words, a repeater to make sure that all the calls are being handled. They're not at capacity, but it's going to the Senate for review and potential approval. Then it'll go on to the governor. Michigan Township Association objected to it when it started, but it's got a lot of amendments on it now. If it requires the setting of a new pole, then it will have to conform with your power ordinance.
What drove that?
It would not.
So, what drove that? I mean, what's the purpose for that?
I don't know. But this, all I get it from Michigan Township Voice. It's where I read these things, and I just bring it if there's something that I think what's, this is my personal view, what's driving it is they don't mind, meaning the cell companies paying for a permit, okay? But they don't want to be held up. If they want to plan in the city to put a repeat, my word repeater, but this box on top of a tower, an existing telephone pole, they want to be able to go in their plans and put it on, put it up. So, and I think it's, like I said, in congested areas. I don't think, or maybe dead spot areas. I don't know what's driving it. See, when this first got going 20 years ago, they were going to have satellites going around the earth to have all this. And that seems to have been abandoned for at least right now, because you see the number of cell towers that are still continuing to increase. Ours around here, I don't think any of them are fully co-located yet, and most of the ordinances require co-location. I think most of them are not. Maybe the water tower is cold. I don't know, but
not one. It's just interesting. I was reading an article on data centers and things, and what I think may be driving that is the autonomous cars that may be coming, is what the problem. Long term, it may have nothing to do with this, but it sure makes a lot of sense. Sure makes a lot of sense.
Weather has something to do with it.
Could be. But if that gives people freedom, you know, somebody's looking out, hey, we need to get coverage wherever we need it. I mean, I don't know. Conspiracy theory.
That's all I have.
Okay. Does the board have any questions for Bill?
Nope.
Okay, we'll move on to, excuse me, Township Board announcements. The only thing I'm aware of is Shelley and I met with 365 the other day. on the cemetery, talking to Scott to put together a plan for some repairs that need to be done at the cemetery. And we will be working with our perpetual care fund on that, just to let you know, Mike. And also, we were talking about doing some stump grinding. I'm not sure, Shelley, did...
I did not get anything. Oh, I didn't get my email this morning.
Well, that's fine, because I think what I'd like to ask the board, if it's all right, we've kind of... We need to give Scott an answer, but we were trying to get him to get someone in there to grind the stumps that we've already cut the trees down. It's kind of been in our plan, and we did ask, and I hate to do this, to stick him to this, but we kind of came up, or he thought it wouldn't exceed $5,000 to do everything we need to do, and maybe less. But if the board was comfortable with giving Shelley and I the latitude to go ahead and get that done, they have someone who could come in there maybe next week. And that's why I'm asking. It's not on the agenda. I bring it up now and just to see what the board's thoughts are. Because, Shelley, would you have anything you'd like to add to that?
No. Timing is everything. So if this gentleman can get in there now before we're really, I was going to say up and running, but that doesn't fit the cemetery.
No.
But,
before Memorial Day?
Yeah.
Yeah, before.
Then that would be great, and that's kind of why we're pushing for this all of a sudden. It would be good.
I mean, I just want to make everybody aware, and I don't know, do you really think we even need a motion other than...
I don't think so, because once the gentleman is done, he's going to give us an invoice, and that's what we'll approve, but we just wanted to let you know that this is what we're working toward.
How many stumps are there?
There was a lot.
Yeah, he told us, and I forget, Aaron, I... should have written it down, but there's quite a few in there. And of course, right now, he can get in there because Elk Lake Road's Class A, and it's one place he can go to work, and he's chomping to get going. So it makes some sense. We did talk more about another plan with what we wanted to do, and there's some more trees that need to be removed. And certainly one of the priorities, and Shelley brought it up a couple of times, is to get the headstones straightened, so that everything looks, you know, like it's supposed to be and leveled. And he's willing to do that and trying to get that done before Memorial Day as well. It's part of the plan. And then also, I think sometime this year there's some gravel needed in certain areas that he wanted to address. And also, he's going to give us a three-year plan on potentially the new plantings, because obviously we've taken out trees and because of their ages, and we need to put in some new trees. So his partner is going to go up there and kind of give us maybe a three-year look at how many trees we would potentially plant, and also with the understanding that we're going to have to water them with, what do you call them, water bags?
Yeah.
Something.
Ladders.
And what am I missing? There was 4 points. And Bill, yes, I did ask about the stakes. He is going to do the stakes. He just hasn't gotten out there. Oh, the very back of the cemetery, since we've got it surveyed now, he's been cleaning up on it, and we need to kind of, we're going to try to identify what's back there and also get it in a spot so we know what usable ground we have and what ground is already being used. So there will be a compost pile back there. But did I miss something, Shelley?
No, that's everything. Scott's very energetic, and
yes.
You have to listen close.
Yeah. We're really trying to work forward with this perpetual care and get the cemetery back in position of being maybe not overgrown, so to speak. But a lot of dead trees, I mean, that's a big problem. And we've had these storms that have created problems. And, well, we've got areas in the cemetery that we need to add soil and reseed as well. So we just haven't had the monies to go out and do all this until now. So I think we're working through a three-year process. If everybody bears with us, we're hoping to end up the cemetery back up to spec. And then, of course, we have our regular maintenance, which Scott will be taking care of that as well. You know, we've got an agreement with him on that. We did ask, I forgot, if he would look at the building that's there that we just put the roof on and asked if he would do some paint work for us through the summer when he has guys that have some spare time, and he said he would. So I thought it was very good. You know, we're working on it. And Shelley and Carol are out there probably more than anyone. So Scott's been good for them to work with. So any questions on that? So if you see somebody out grinding stumps, that's what we're all about. Any other board announcements? Bill's already mentioned the MTA. I encourage everyone to go to that if possible. Anything else? Okay, with that, meeting's adjourned. Thank you. I just thought of a cemetery thing I wanted to get.
I knew we wanted to do that.
I forgot about it.
But I don't think we need them.
Well, no.